Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
And action.
No.
Don't? I like you.
Of course we do.
It's a very awkward relationship though, isn't it? When you guys start scrapping.
I hate when mom and dad fight.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't like that narrative at all.
I get very uncomfortable. It's a weird narrative.
Thing, isn't it? It's more of a brother and sister versus a
sure, mom okay.
and dad.
Okay. But you don't get, it's not awkward when the siblings fight. You know what we're saying.
But it's awkward when siblings have children and they're us.
That is really awkward. Yeah, so please try and stop Jimmy and Jimmy Brennan and Amy Walsh, Canadian Hall of Famers. Please just stop scrapping.
Who's the mom and dad in our, like, what is our breakdown? What's our Brady Bunch?
Oh, you're the dad.
He's the weird uncle.
I am.
Creepy
uncle. I'm like the rich creepy uncle that makes people go through a hey, you want to inherit this? You've got to stay in the horror mystery house. It's like a Scooby-Doo episode. You have to stay in the mystery house for 4 days. One of those things.
And then Charm is unmasked and he's just cleanly shaven. Everybody's like,
it's disgusting. Put it back on.
I knew you lousy kids.
I think we need to discuss Wonga's voice. Did you go out last night, Wonga?
I did. I had a night. Yeah. So I have a couple friends who, well, I'm the loser of the bunch. They're ridiculously wealthy. Uh-oh. And you guys get me. It's amazing. Yeah. So my buddy was in town and JC owns 10% of a giant investment fund that's worth $3
billion.
And
$3 billion.
Yeah. Through the math.
$30,000.
Yeah. No. And he said, let's go out. And I said, okay. So we went out. Downtown to, we ended up at Jimmy's favorite bar downtown Toronto, the Walrus.
And he made you pay.
Yeah. He did. He did.
They always do, don't they?
No, he didn't. He just goes, I am going to make this a great night. And so we had a great night and I got home. You know what? There's nothing better than a rich friend because you fuckers you're horrible people. Yeah. I judge you on your middling class.
Does he want a sponsorship?
I asked him that. I go, do you want to like throw some of that 10% or 5% into Footy Prime? He's like, wherever I go, whatever I do, I listen to Footy Prime, but you're not making me pay for you. I'm like, fair enough.
Do you think anyone out there would actually invest in us financially? Any of our listeners, viewers? You got to put it out there, right? There's money in the ether. There is out there somewhere. And until you ask, you'll never know.
That's fair. And even more, when you wear a hat like that and you don't shave and you're a good looking man instead of an ugly, obtuse, ridiculous looking weird person.
This is the hat that the supporters club.
Oh, it looks good. It looks good.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't quite see the Liverpool emblem there, but it's there.
You know what I think we should do for a laugh is, for instance, underneath Sharms, you got that little white box there that you put at James Sharman. Well, we should go out and we should try to find the worst individual sponsor that we could get.
What would it
and they
be?
Go, they go in the little box there.
What would that be?
I don't know.
Visit Saudi?
Waste management.
Yes. Waste management.
Hey, there's big money in waste management.
Birch Chew Shop.
Now, listen, there's money out there, right? If we had the money, okay, let's have a little meeting here, right? Let's pretend that no one else is here, all right? If we had a meeting and we were given, let's say, $1 million as a business, as Footy Prime, where are we investing that money right now?
Craig might have an apartment / studio instead of living on the street, which he does. Yep. I don't know how he gets good internet at Eaton Center. What is he doing?
Yeah, that's right.
Jimmy would get a new mic. Cable.
My backdrop is going to be Eaton Center.
No, you know what we'd do though? Honestly, if we had the money, we would get studio space for sure.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. We'd have our own TV show.
A crack team of editors.
Sorry, to get a new mute button.
Someone muted me. Who muted me? I didn't touch
it. I don't know. This is a terrible advertisement for anybody who would like to smell.
Well, how about new computers for all of us? There's a start, right? We'd have hardwired commercial standard internet, right? We would. This is what we do. So listen, don't be so shy and so you could have put it out there. We would like money. All right, to improve our offering. All right, we would hire people. We'd travel. We'd do content from around Canada, around the world, perhaps. You, the listener, would benefit from us if you gave us money.
That's fantastic.
Now right? We're not doing like it. A threat. It sounds like you're
threatening. So give us your fucking money, or I'm coming for you.
A threat.
I know where you all fucking live. So you got a week. The numbers are million.
Charms,
and we are against bullying.
Yeah. Pink shirt Fridays. All right.
We don't do it for the money.
No, we absolutely
what
don't.
Are we doing for? Fucking hell. Hey, we've got some good reviews. We've got some great comments, haven't we?
Yeah, we have some. Yeah.
We got a lovely one, actually. It's a funny one, actually, as well, wasn't it? Dubs, you discovered this one first.
No, it was Wonger. Still?
Oh, was it Wonger?
Wonger did,
yeah. Do you have it there, Wong Wongs?
Yeah, but what are we talking about? What,
you not the one you, Wong Wongs?
The one you sent yesterday. I've got it here. I'll read it.
Read it.
I don't think Wong Wong's brain is working well today. So
no, don't. Do not include me in a conversation.
This is wicked. This is from, is it Pudran? Pudran? Pudrin? I don't. You have it too. We're in front of you. All right. Dear Freddy Prime, wanted to let you know what a massive void you are filling, insert joke here, with your new format, devoting episodes to each MLS team throughout the season. I really hope it pays off for you and the show, fingers crossed. With the dearth of professional MLS coverage, with every major outlet recycling the same few stories, the constant betting ads and Apple TV being such a centralized corporate experience, as a fan, I'm feeling more like an embarrassing imposition, an obstacle between the league and my wallet, than a member of a broad community. Ironically, with this format, I now really enjoy the Montreal and TFC segments. And not only because they're both sucking so, so hard, especially TFC. Hashtag Canadian champs. Hashtag top of the table by points percentage. Hashtag I can see your houses from here. And the kudos I mentally gave you for your women's game coverage still apply. Adiamo and good luck. A grateful Whitecaps fan. That's brilliant. I love that. He's enjoying the failings of two of the Canadian teams, but he's also supporting us. So that's the whole point, right? MLS fans, don't just listen to the podcasts for your teams. You should bask in the glory of the other team's struggles. Right? That was nice.
It was fun doing the Vancouver one, I tell you, because the other ones were miserable.
You think it's Law easier to talk about a bad team? Let me ask you, Craig, you've done sports media for a long time. Is it easier to talk about a bad team or a good team?
Oh, good team.
Good question, Charms.
Yeah.
Good team. Yeah.
It's funny, we had J-Mo, John Molinaro, obviously on the TFC podcast.
And he shaved for you, the podcast.
No,
he looks like fucking Andy Capp. Remember Andy that old Capp. Cartoon? That old
Andy Capp.
Yeah. Hey, J-Mo, can you fucking shave for the show?
Why? You give me shit for shaving. And now you're giving me shit for not shaving?
I'm going to throw it always had the beard. J-Mo used to shave once in a while.
J-Mo's always
got to see something different from J-Mo.
Never seen J-Mo? Him without a beard.
Or never we're going to put you in a photoshopped picture.
Maybe we should ask his better half, Casey Telford, who's a longtime listener. Ask her opinion on this. I've never seen J-Mo without a beard. So I say, keep it going, J-Mo. But my point being, if you just let me finish my point here, if I remember what it was, he runs and owns and operates tfcrepublic.ca. Great website for all things Canadian soccer, but specifically TFC. And he's an all-time high subscription rate right now with the team struggling. And he started during COVID, right? Good timing. And they've been awful ever since. But he still gets numbers. People still want to hear about TFC, right? I wonder when they get successful, they turn it around, how his numbers. I think they'll go through the roof. I really do. If not already.
Yeah. I hope so for him because he provides great service and great information. Like, it's really informed content, not only on TFC, but on our national teams as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a subscriber. Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. It's 50
bucks. I'm a subscriber. I never loved
a year.
Wow. I saw her face.
But I think it goes back to like our MLS content. Like that's a Vancouver Whitecaps person who, a supporter who writes in and is kind of gloating about the fact that Vancouver is currently Canada's best MLS team. And they have been, according to Vanni Sartini, for the last 2 or 3 years. But you inform yourself on your competitors, the other teams in the market. And I think you can approach the viewing of your team in a better way. And you're still going to be biased, but then you have all of this information from unique angles and perspectives that I think just give you a little bit more breadth of knowledge to watch the games.
Precisely. And we have guests coming up too. I know you have one lined up for next week in the Montreal Three Questions.
Yeah,
we have one. Can you name who the player is yet, or is it Surprise?
Surprise.
Yeah, all right. All right, good. Well, we also have a TFC guest lined up for next week as well.
You do? TFC's come to the table?
They have. No, I had a great chat with them yesterday, and they're fully supportive, so yeah.
All right.
Well, listen, we'll wait until we actually have the guest in place, but no, they were very good. So
so John Miller, can you please shave?
That's something that when the teams are doing better, they're more likely to offer up players, and as they're sucking more and more, they're less likely, and they think that people are out to get them.
Isn't that funny?
Is that true, Jimmy?
Academy player.
Well, Jimmy and Craig and Amy, did you guys get more shit on when you were playing badly or when you were playing well? Like, where did the media, where were you guys more, especially captain of TFC, Jimmy? Like, you even have talked about the kind of amount of people that went through that you didn't even know. Were they writing great articles? Were they writing articles? Or were you just like wallpaper for a while?
I think in the beginning there was a lot of positivity around the team. And then as time went on, when you're not getting into playoffs, and then they started getting a little bit negative. And then what ends up happening is you'll have a few reporters that really understand the game, that are knowledgeable, that start writing about more or less how bad the team is doing and playing. And those others that don't really understand the game too well, they kind of feed off of that. So they just go off the back of them. And then they start writing bad press, but I mean, it is what it is. If you're not performing and you're not doing well, you're expecting them to write the truth. I mean, we all know. I mean, look, if you're not winning, you're not getting in playoffs, and they're saying, "Oh, the team's great. They, you know, they're doing really, really well. They're just a little bit unlucky." The true fans are looking at that, going, "You're full of shit." So you, when you're right, you got to be honest and put it out there, because people.
You're at turn, Jimmy. We're at turn for you guys. We're at turn for you guys, because the first year and a bit, it was you guys on honeymoon, right? It didn't matter, you know, how you played. It's a party. It was all positive, great. But it was that New York match where you're that close to the playoffs, needed a point.
Yeah.
And you got smashed. Was it 4-1 or 4-0? I forget now. You got smashed. Maybe 5, actually. That was the turning point, I think, when the media went, wait a minute, we got to start holding this team accountable, because that's bullshit. They came that close. And they let everyone down. Sorry, Jimmy. but that's how the fans felt.
Yeah, no, it's true. But the worst thing was, I think it was 4 teams qualified for the previous 2 years, and we kept on finishing 5th. And then the next year after, it was 5 teams. We were like, fuck, we would have been in the playoffs the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I think what you want, though, on both sides, and what lends itself to open communication as much as you're going to get. You're going to have disagreements. You're not going to see eye to eye necessarily, you know, from within the team to media and press and fans. But as somebody in media, and I'm still learning this, that the best questions to ask are ones that you can be critical, but you want to be constructive in the way that you're levying the criticism. But you have to be honest, to Jimmy's point. Like you can't, you know, pretend that everything's all rosy and hunky-dory. You can't when things are going poorly. So you have to dive in within that and find maybe the bright spots, the positivity. And you're not always going to be writing about things that are positive, but it's approaching it with sort of an open spirit, I think, where you're willing to learn, you're willing to be curious from a media's perspective, but then so that you're not causing the players to shut down and be defensive. So it's walking that line and finding the balance where you, in order to get the respect from the players, you have to tell it like it is. They're going to see right through it if you're, you're just trying to produce something that's for views or that's clickbait. But if the team is winless and in 5, you're not going to be writing an overwhelmingly positive story, but you can dive into maybe their own personal narrative or their growth or development as a player within the structure and still get something that's kind of glass half full out of it. So it's finding that balance.
Yeah. Do you know, going on to what Craig was saying as well, where, you know, the, when things aren't going well, it's hard to find players that will come out and talk in the media. And a lot of time that's the manager will try to protect the players. And the manager will take it and hit it face on. But I do like when things aren't going well and the captain and a few of the older players actually stand up to the media and will do the interviews when it's, you know, when the shit hits the fan. Because it's great when things are going wonderful and you can get out and you can talk to the media and everything's honky-dory and everybody's in a good mood. But when things aren't going bad, I like the individuals that will stand up in front of the media and say, yeah, we're not performing. We're not doing things right. Now, granted, protect the younger players. Yeah, don't let the younger guys come in and face the media. But the older players, the captain, yeah, you've got to face the media. That's my
opinion. We saw Ryan Gould do that a couple of weeks ago when Vancouver hadn't won a home game yet and they had lost. He faced the media and he was really honest about how lackluster the performance was and how it had to be much better. And I thought that honesty went a long way. And him facing the media, just like you said, Jimmy, older player, experienced, show up to the media, face it when things aren't going well as when they're going well. It says a lot about character.
I hate to give people credit on this podcast, right? But both Jimmy and Craig, I know I interviewed you guys many times with Canada and with TFC when things weren't going well. And you guys always stood up and faced the cameras no matter what. So I'll give you guys credit for that much, I suppose. Dubs, I'm sure you did too. I didn't cover as much.
No, Amy would hide. Amy would hide.
I'm sure she's out there.
Blame other people. She'd blame other players.
but Dubs, to what you were saying, though, you made a good point there that there's always a story, right? There's always a narrative. And it doesn't have to be, even in times of you know, dire play, there's always some positive story in there. And we're seeing John Herbin try and find those stories right now. One thing I'll say about TFC right now is compared to last year, and I was speaking to Neil Davidson and John Molinaro at training yesterday about this. How
did Neil shave?
Neil always shaves. He's always well put together. Is that under Bob Bradley, you know, it was such a different feel at that club. Bob, great football man, I think, but didn't like the media. You always felt that you were just like pulling teeth. It wasn't much fun. He came in with a scowl on his face. Whereas John, you watch John Herdman at training. Like he walks into that training pitch and there's like dozens of people out there, not just players, there's training staff, there's everyone, there's media. He comes up and he pretty much shakes everyone's hand with a smile on his face, right? Acknowledges people. And it seems like a little thing, but that's so important to build you're raising your hand longer.
No. It's because I saw JC do this and I thought it was a great conversation that you're having right now.
Oh, sorry, okay. I interrupted. No, but it's little things in what a good manager in any profession does, right? Acknowledge everyone. Deep down, you don't know what his feelings really are, right? But you have to be positive somehow.
Who was the best and who was the worst, Sharms? You've been around for 30 years doing this. Well, anyone across the Canadian landscape, who answered the questions, who is a prick? I want names.
Honestly, there haven't been many pricks in this, honestly. I mean,
you said many. That means there's one or two. Who was the biggest prick?
I'm trying to think. Pricks? I don't think there are many pricks. I'm trying to think. Canada wise.
John Herdman, you're a prick.
No, I mean, with Canada, I mean, I always liked the Canadian coaches. From Holger was brilliant. He was very much very German, as these guys know, right? But he was really good with the media, I thought. Good with me. Frank was fantastic in tough times. Stephen Hart was brilliant, right? These guys got it. They understood the landscape. They got it. And I went and got Zambrano came in. He was okay. He was pretty good, but didn't know the landscape quite as well. And with TFC, Mo was great until they started playing games. Right, Craig? And then he became a bit of a prick, let's be honest here. He would be the one, I like Mo actually, but he was the guy that once they started playing games, his whole demeanor changed. Before then, he was a brilliant salesman, fantastic. But then he kind of went, no. As much as the media had so much access in those days that whoever they wanted throughout all of training, there was none of this 15 minutes, then fuck off, none of that. Different era, of course, but Mo turned pretty quickly, right, Craig?
Yeah, oh, did he ever. Did he ever. I was doing a game in Chicago, and it was halftime, and I guess we were in a break, but I guess online it stayed up live, and the camera guy was scanning the wall, like the Wall of Fame in Chicago, and there was one there that had a name but didn't have a number, and I was like, who's that guy? He's like, oh, he was a general manager of the first Chicago team, and they won it in their first year. I was, oh, wow, it's just amazing. How long do you think it'll be before Mo gets his name up on the BMO field? And this comes out on, I guess, the internet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So after the game, me and Jerry got a text message basically saying, you're dead to me.
The nicest person in broadcasting gets, you're dead to me.
You're Craig dead Forrest. To me. He didn't talk to Jerry for like 3 weeks because he said this is a bit of a Keystone Cop routine. And he
I remember that.
For like a month.
I remember that. He was losing it. You upset the Mono Rojo.
The red monkey.
I remember Mo sent KJ a text once saying, I'm going to sue you. There's a threat for suing him. And it was just, he was just angry, right? And that may have been over Jimmy, actually. I think it may have been over Jimmy. I'm not sure about the retirement. I can't remember now. I'll ask KJ about it. But it didn't go anywhere. There's no grounds for it. But he was an emotional guy, Mo, right? His heart was on his sleeve, right? Yeah. And that made him a brilliant footballer. And listen, he had success in MLS too before TFC. But yeah, different times. But yeah, I mean, TFC managers generally have been pretty good. I mean, Greg Vanney was very good, very, very corporate, very professional. You know, I didn't get much from him, but he was good enough. Bez was great when he was an executive. He'd always, jump on and talk. So
I just wanted to say, without naming anybody in particular, but you hire a coach, whether it's MLS or national team, and they're responsible for dictating the philosophy of play, like what the identity is going to be of the club or of the country and the players that are assembled to express that on the pitch. But they're also responsible for setting the tone in terms of how you relate to outsiders. And that includes media, that includes fans, that includes all of the stakeholders of the game. And so if you have somebody who's distrustful, you have somebody who's cautious or wary of media because they've been burned in the past, that bleeds down into the players. So in times where things are difficult, and you're worried that you're going to be kind of hard done by, you're going to get burned by the media, then of course you're not going to make the players available. But if you're just a nice, generous human who is available and is transparent, then everyone else is going to respect that. And then that's something that contributes, I think, to making players feel supported and welcome and trust the process of the people that they're involved with, that they see a manager conducting him or herself in that way, where no matter what the result was, there's a handshake, there's an acknowledgement, there's a look in the eyes, there's, I see you, and I'm not immediately, leery or wary of how this is going to go. Does it mean that what's going to be written about you, you're going to agree with, or you're going to be completely on board with, and that's okay. But at least there's a modicum of respect that's always there. And that is very much instilled by and established by the person who is leading the charge. And that oftentimes that's the manager.
I think you're right. And, you know, a lot of the time too is building those relationships, and those relationships that you build with the media, they can actually help you and save your job at times. Because if I'm working with Sharms and I give Sharms the information that he's looking for, and he goes out and he writes a lovely story, his boss is happy with him. Now, if I don't have a relationship with Sharms, Sharms could go for my jugular now and make it even worse than what the story actually is. And I think that's why it's so important at times that you do have that relationship and that bond with the reporters and give them what they need so that they can go out, they can write their stories, have a good living, be successful, because at the same time, they'll look after you in the end. You know, they'll be honest, but they probably just won't go for the jugular as much as they would have if you didn't give them information.
I think when you're doing your coaching licenses, they don't actually tell you probably who you should really keep happy. And media is one of them. And the other one is the owners.
Yeah.
If the owners like you, you got a longer leash. Build a relationship with the owners. You might get an extra few months. <That's true.
laughs> But right? Just don't be mean. Don't be personal, right? I think you make good points there, right? When you're talking to, you build relationships with whoever it is, with the media in particular. And it goes a two-way street, right? I'm not going to get mean and personal against a coach who respects me and gives me the information. If some guy's a dick to me, I'll be a dick back. Simple as that, right? So it is a two-way street. But Dubs, were you ever told by a coach or by administration certain messaging for the media or how you should deal with them? Or were you kind of left to your own?
Yeah, voice? I had a big chat with Dubs before this show. And I said, stop being so mean to our boy Jimmy. Stop it. Personal.
No, we were never... I mean, when I was drafted into WSA beginning of that season, there was a little bit of media training, but in terms of like the internal messaging, either with the national team, depending what coach we had or various club coaches I've had, there was never any of that. It was just whoever was comfortable, whoever was in kind of that position of leadership, those were the people who were kind of pushed out, or I think Jimmy's earlier point about, or your Sharms, people willing to be accountable for the group and maybe publicly, take those blows. But you're doing it for the team, right? But no, I never a direct message of how something was meant to go. You were always sort of left to your own devices for better or worse.
It's so different though, right, in North America compared to Europe in particular, UK, where there's so much media covering each team and you have the tabloids over there and you might have the one guy who's renowned for being an arsehole and for, you know, having his sources around the town and finding the inside scoop on who's out where doing what. And then you've got the broadsheets who are more perhaps respectable, I think it's fair to say. You know, Henry Winter is a great example. Talking about him yesterday, he's a legendary writer in the UK, who actually got laid off yesterday from the Times, which is absolutely He just won Reporter Journalist of the Year.
For like the I loved time. Him on Happy Days.
Yeah, the funds. It's not the funds.
Hey.
Hey, I've been let go.
No, I mean, so well done, Dubs.
But I didn't realize the funds wrote for the Times, but a brilliant writer. But a guy so respected, right? He can get whoever he wants because people know that he'll present the right story. But I mean, Craig, you played in some big markets in England. You must have been told from, be it media ops or whoever it was at the club, who's your friend, who's not your friend?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, back in the day, there wasn't even like a media room, and they didn't even have requests and things like that, which was just ridiculous. I thought that was strange. So you had parking lot press. So when they get you, when you're going to the car, that was really hard because they could say whatever they wanted and the quote could be completely wrong, but nobody can really verify it because they got you in the parking lot as you're getting in the car. Oh, did you see so-and-so spit on so-and-so? And never nothing. It has nothing to do with football generally, especially from the tabloids, the Sun, the Mirror, newspapers like that. They were just looking for.
That's right. I forgot about the parking lot press. I mean, it's changed now right over there even, isn't it? There's less parking lot press. It's more organized. Yeah, these guys come down to the parking lots.
Well, also, Craig slept with all of London and all of his teammates' wives. And he was looking, so it was on the Daily Mail. So congratulations, Craig.
I Wonger, think you were the Wonger the night after Wonger is something else.
Yeah.
Isn't he? And you know what? It's a regular thing. He's very rogue right now, isn't he? He could be going.
Yes.
He's got the giggle.
He's told us about that. Where the English media showed up at Frank Yallop's house and said, "You're sleeping with Frank's wife."
Remember that is true. That is
imagine. True. Imagine that.
Yeah, Frank was about to go to Major League Soccer, the Tampa Bay Mutiny. We actually had a going away party that previous night, and the Sun newspaper showed up the next morning. I'd gone home a few hours before in the middle of the night, and they said they're going to run a story, and they wanted a comment from Frank. And Frank's like, "Oh, what?" He's like, "Yeah, we've got the story that your best friend, Craig, has been sleeping with your wife and you're going to MLS to save your marriage and your career. And Craig is also injured at the moment because you guys had a fight in the treatment room and he hurt his elbow." And Frank's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Very specific.
So I get a call from Frank and then I'm like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "So what did you say, Frank?" He said, "Well, I'm leaving, so it's all on you, buddy." He goes, I told him it's not true and you're just gay. Wow. Which is absolutely fine, but
like, where did it come from? I mean, you hear about media making shit up. I mean, that is like next level.
I know. And we had to get the club. There's a guy, the old guy at the club, Charlie Woods. He had a contact at the Sun newspaper, and he phoned him up and said, "Listen, you guys are so far off the mark. I'm not sure where you got the story from, but these stories come out, and if they do print them, people get paid for them. You know, like there's at the articles, there'd be some article about a player and blah blah blah, and then at the bottom, if you have any knowledge or if you've done anything with a football player, here's a number." And phone it. And they literally take phone calls from these people who are sleeping with players. And
it's a career for some girls. God.
It is.
Yeah.
Right?
You make a lot of money. That's why the It Girls. Remember we used to go out for a night out and you knew them right away?
Yeah.
Because all they wanted to do was sleep with a footballer and sell their story.
Yeah. People are always wondering, like, is like somebody show them attention? It's like, do they like me? Or are they looking for a story? You know, it's like, most guys are stupid. They would just take their chances.
Yeah, I was going to say. Probably, was it an It Girl, Jimmy? They called it It Girl? Is that what they called?
It Girl, yeah.
Yeah, so it must be like, probably an It Girl, but I don't care.
No. And then right. And the next morning, you're like that, reading the newspaper, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He was a terrible shag. He's a better footballer than he is in bed.
That's right.
3 inches, my ass.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one crazy one. Jason Dazelle, Ipswich Town, and Duncan Ferguson had slept with with the same woman, and she put in the newspaper, there was like basically a center spread, one of Duncan Ferguson, one of Jason Giselle, and it had everything from foreplay all the way down, just a whole list. There was 10 different categories, 10 points for each, 100 points maximum. Jason got like 2 out of 100, and Duncan got 99.
Player ratings.
Yeah.
Wow. Player ratings out of 10 for the in the sack.
I think he got her pregnant, Jason. That's why she was only gave him a 10 or 2 out of 100. Jeez. I thought that's pretty bad. I mean, at least if you get put into a center spread, you want to be the 99 out of 100.
You do, don't you? You do.
Yeah.
Do some things like have like a higher score than others, like out of a certain?
I can't remember. And then there was Stephen Bywater.
Are you saying Stephen oral? Bywater. Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying
to know. Wants to know about oral.
Like player ratings, you know, like a goal's worth more than a tackle.
Oh, right. I can't remember. We were laughing too much at Jason on the bus with this center spread. It was pretty amazing. Then there was Stephen Bywater, West Ham. He was on preseason. I think I was retired. And then he phoned me from Spain on preseason. He said, I think there's an article in the Sunday Sport. And I'm like, okay, see, can you go get it? Because he goes, I'm getting calls about it. So I have a look at it and I read it. And it's like, oh, yeah, Stephen, da, da, da. And he was great. And he went for 4 hours. And he's got an 8-inch hawk. And all this stuff is in this newspaper. So I phone him back and he's like, you know, this isn't true, right? And I go, oh, I know it's not true. I've seen you in the shower.
We got some pretty good social clips, I think, the last 10 minutes. Pretty good social clips. Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm going to say, that's a good, great segue from Stephen Bywater's 8 inches to the
flaccid. Sorry, Sharon, we have to talk about two things, or at least one. Danny Dicchio, our friend, we have to mention this, USL Coach of the Month, undefeated in Detroit.
3-0. Teams that made the playoffs last year.
Incredible.
Wonger, was it Forrest talking about cock and then dick, yo?
Yes, of course.
Is this how this came about?
And not only that, have you ever seen Danny's head? Like, he keeps it nice. It looks like if he just put a line down the middle, he'd look like a big cock. And that's what Dubs always, she always calls me cockhead. And I'm like, why are you calling me cockhead? It's not fair.
It's this saluting emoticon. It looks like a cock to your head.
I didn't know where it came from. I'm like, why is she always calling me cockhead?
I mean, it's weirdly apropos as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
The hottest takes on the hottest questions from the hottest team in sports. This is the...
Is that what your voice is, JP? Is that what you say? Not tonight, honey. You put a deep voice on.
No.
Sorry, the Habs lost. Not tonight, honey. Yeah. That's right. Well, if the Habs win, there's like some action. If there's not,
there's been a drought in her household. Then obviously this season, the way the Canadians are playing,
Habs win, good center spread.
Oh, jeez.
I know she'd been waiting. You sort of slide the spread coming in earlier, and it was brilliant. But it was overwhelmed by some laughter, I think. So yeah, well done for sticking to your guns there, Dubs.
Thank you.
Going back,
Dubs. I have to ask.
Going back to the well, as it were. You
were, oh my God, that big open well.
Giant void
down there.
You JP fall down the well.
Do you ever get yelled at?
Wishing
you say
well.
Shit on our show that other people wouldn't get away with. You know that, right? Do you ever get yelled at by anybody online that says, "Oh, you're stepping too far, Dubs"? You're unladylike, like any of those misogynists.
Come on.
I know. I'm wondering because
what ladies do.
Yeah. No one ever gives you the shizzle.
I'm a lady.
No.
Oh, good.
I mean, ladies things.
Glad. I'm glad we've helped give you a platform.
I mean, do you guys?
No, I love
I'm
you.
Continually going over. No, I don't mean about me. I mean for you.
Always.
Oh yeah, I get shit on all the time. I have fucking.
Well, you're the wrong person to ask. You're perennially over the line.
Yeah, to strangers at bars.
It's terrible.
I think we are. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone here, but I think we are pretty authentic. This is who we are, no matter who we're talking to. Maybe not my mom. I probably won't speak to my mother the way I speak to you guys.
I thought you were going to say, hey, mom, listen to episode 594. Yeah. Wonger and Dubs talk about all kinds of weird shit. Mom, listen to this one.
You know what's nice, though, is our other MLS podcasts are far more traditional and far more like family-oriented, shall we say, than the foundationals at the moment. But they'll evolve, right, as our guests get more comfortable with our stupidity. Anyway, it's Flaccid Four. Today we got the supporters, we got Dubs, we got Jimmy, and we got myself asking the questions. We're at 38 minutes already, so let's try and be a little bit quick with these answers. Famous last words, I know. So let's get right to it, shall we? Start with the supporters, okay? Because they're always on it. They always deliver their question well ahead of time. This week, we learned a lot about fixing games in professional sports. Yes, our Declan Hill interview, very well received. What is a time when you felt like that the odds were against you or you were unfairly treated to your detriment on the pitch, in life, or on the dance floor? Thank you, Dave DiCola. Okay, let me... Craig.
Craig put his head up. He's like, I have a response.
Well, it's kind of like, well, who's going to underdog? I think being a Canadian generally in football as a player, you're generally an underdog. Just generally. Maybe not for the women, but for the men.
For sure. When you're searching for clubs that specifically?
Well, yeah. I mean, a little bit, but it was more so, I mean, as a 16-year-old, it was a bit of a shock that it was like, well, they just don't come from a traditional footballing country. So you're right behind it right away. You have to be better than the next person, next player. Not the same. You have to be better than them because of that. So it was a real anchor on any Canadian player. It's changing slowly. I mean, look at the women. I mean, look at Rhian Wilkinson getting a job with Wales. You're not getting a Canadian male getting a job with Wales or anybody like that.
Yeah.
Not for the time being. Right. So it's gone a long way in the women's game, but not so much in the men's game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good answer.
I agree. I mean, that would have been mine as well. Just how difficult it is being a Canadian and going over to England and trying to take an Englishman's job was so hard. I mean, they just automatically assume that you should be a hockey player, not a footballer. So you got to prove your worth and you got to be a lot better than what they've got over there. And then it's even on the coaching side as well, going on what Craig's saying. If you're a male Canadian coach, you don't have many opportunities anywhere in the world. I mean, even let alone in your own country. You got no chance overseas. And it's very difficult still today as a young Canadian male soccer player to break it over in Europe. That's why there's not so many.
I tried to change my name to Foristo.
Yeah.
I should have just kept my Irish passport alongside my name. That would have helped me out.
Yeah. By the way, on the flip side, I interviewed Matty Longstaff yesterday at TFC. His dad is a...
For Footy Prime, right?
No. But we'll get Matty on the show.
Matty, Sherms.
I have other commitments too. This is my... You'll read this in the Star tomorrow, okay? Toronto Star. But we'll get him on, though, because he's brilliant. His dad is a British ice hockey legend and played there for years. Played in Sweden for a year. So Matty actually grew up with his brother, Sean, of course, who still plays at Newcastle. Watching ice hockey. Yeah, watching hockey. Really interesting guy. Yeah, he's a legend. David Longstaff.
When you say legend, what is legend in British ice hockey?
You can skate.
Yeah. I used to go and watch the games. They're great. I mean, listen, obviously nothing like over here quality wise, but a lot of Canadians play over there, tons.
I bet he's a tough, tough man because that league over in England is barbaric.
Yeah.
It is just all fights and the Brits love it.
Yeah. But really fascinating story. So that's a British guy playing ice hockey over there. It's very similar to your stories, I think, in many ways. But 10 points each for that. I like that. Who's keeping score today?
I am.
we'll trust you, Warner.
That's 10 points
for Jimmy and for
minus
Craig.
Six each.
Dubs.
Yeah, I was trying to think times when the odds were stacked against me in a story that I hadn't already told.
CBA negotiations.
So I wouldn't embarrass myself like Jimmy Brennan did telling his boat story for the third time last week.
Going back to the well, the wide open well.
Right. My story. First year. Oh, Sharm's place.
No, I missed that. I didn't hear that.
The sinking boat, which was a metaphor for his career.
You are Lindsay Lohan some days. You know that. Wow. She's mean girl at fucking high school.
Oh, come on. It's all love.
You know when people say you go too far? Well,
okay. Jimmy's crying. You know, you know, no one can see this. Jimmy's got a tear.
What was that all about? Okay, come on.
Why did I do this with my shoulders?
Just tell
Jimmy.
Us one of your boring stories about when you played high school soccer. Come on, hurry up. Let's go. Fucking hell.
Please stop.
Actually, it's quite a good story, Jimmy, about my first year at Nebraska. Yeah. I was a highly touted player coming in, and I was playing not in a central midfield. I was
fabrication,
playing
a lateral
position.
Not highly touted. Let's go. Come on, Clubfoot. Hurry up.
Hey, JC, can we mute Jimmy just for the duration of my answer? I mean, a little bit of decorum, Jimmy.
Mom,
please. Mom and Dad are always fighting.
You did just been a
highly touted player. And I had a great preseason. And then, as I said, I was playing on the wing, or I was playing a lateral midfield position, doing very well. My first game was actually against Texas A&M, and I played terribly. And after that, it kind of coincided with a hip flexor injury, and I never started again. But I came on kind of almost as a super sub, did really well, and I played a striker, actually, my first year. And then when we were training for the NCAA tournament that year, I would frequently be on the scrub team, or like the team that's playing against the starting 11 and sort of like your tactical practice on like the Thursday or Friday before the Saturday match. And there was one sequence where we were practicing set pieces. And so we were attacking so that the starting 11 could practice their setup defensively. And I must have won probably 10 headers in a row as the attacking team. And so then like the opposition, like players were like, Amy, like what the fuck's going on here? And like the coaches were kind of looking like, have you always been able to win headers like that? And then the head coach talked to me after and was like, is this part of your game? We just haven't seen it because of where you've been playing. And I was like, yeah, like I'm a center midfielder. Like that's what I've essentially played my whole life. So odds were against me that year. I only saw a little bit of minutes. And then the next year I was the starting center midfielder kind of in large part due to my performance kind of on that scrub team.
Very good story.
Very good story. All because of a hip flexor.
Way to go, Jimmy. Way to push her into
that's
having
a
good
9
story.
Point hip flexor right there.
Nine points.
Great. 9 points.
A little long winded, but it was good.
All right, JC.
Well, I just wanted to say I didn't know that there was a head coach like for headers.
Coming now.
That's right.
There probably is actually nowadays.
So odds were stacked against me way back when my grandmother had to, her house was foreclosed on, and I had 30 days to get her out of the home that she was put in. And the way that I figured out how to do it was learn how to play golf. See, I was a hard hitting hockey player, but, so I tried out and I made it onto the PGA Tour. Boy, oh boy, I wasn't the best, but as long as I got to take home one of those giant checks, we were getting closer and closer to getting grandma out of the home. But I'll tell you what, it was one guy who was the best on the tour, Shooter McGavin. He really had it in for me. He didn't like me at all, and he wanted to have sex with my girlfriend. So it came down to me and him, and I won. And I got my grandma out, and then my coach was eaten by an alligator.
Did you take her to the bay and play in the clay?
You eat shit for breakfast?
Where are you going? I got Subway.
The worst thing, I think that's a 13. But the biggest thing about that answer is that JC fought Bob Barker. Yeah, right. Big fight with Bob Barker in the woods.
The price is wrong, bitch.
No, it's a 13 pointer for sure. That's some story.
Very strong.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. Okay, Wonger.
Oh no, I don't have anything crazy. It's just that remember I told you about my shoplifting and the odds were against me because I thought I might get caught? Well, one time my friend Christian and I, we had once again no money. And we had to get drunk because it was the last day of school.
Is this your tenant in your basement?
Yeah, it's one of my friends who lives in my basement. And former CFL player, he's probably going, why are you talking about me? So we went to the IGA, Independent Grocers Association store. And in Montreal, you could buy beer at the grocery store. No, but you could buy beer at the grocery store, right?
Still
it was
can.
Fantastic, and it's amazing, and I love Montreal for its progressiveness. And we didn't have any money, so we decided to do six shotguns each in the middle. So we popped beers down in the middle of the aisle.
Oh, boy.
And yeah, I drank six shotguns, and the odds were against me.
What were they against?
And I was drunk.
For getting drunk or for getting caught?
Getting caught.
Oh, getting caught. Were you caught?
No.
So you beat the odds?
Yeah, I beat the odds. Odds were against me. Yeah.
Okay.
And I bought and once again, I bought a potato for 13 cents.
It's not bad, actually. I got to say, it's pretty good.
Thank you, Sharps.
Yeah.
I'll give you nine.
Thank you.
Potatoes have gone up a lot since.
Sharps, your question. We got everybody. We have to judge.
Okay, well, as a straight white man, there's so many of these stories. I don't know where to begin. It's difficult, right?
Dig deep, Sharms. You can do it.
It's hard, isn't it? being a middle-aged white broadcaster, it's not so great these days, but that's okay. Being English with an accent, and wanted to cover hockey once upon a time, that didn't help me out. I was forced into this pigeonhole covering soccer and international sports. Poor me.
So national television.
On one hand, the odds were in my favor because I had an accent back in those days. And as Craig will be happy to tell people, it really helps you in Canadian soccer media. It did help me, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
But I also would have loved to have covered other sports at some point, but I was never given the opportunity because of my passport. So you think you guys had it bad in England? You tried being a broadcaster in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good, Dubs. Come on.
Give me the old accent.
No, built in ability. No. You weren't up against any odds.
Dubs, as the half Asian guy and the white girl, what do we give that stupid answer?
Why was it stupid? It's better than chugging beers in the fucking grocery store.
The odds were against me. The odds were against me, Sharks.
I think like a three.
Come on. That's bullshit.
Thank you.
Three is right. His accent didn't get him work.
Please.
What a twat.
Oh, well, you think you heard an Englishman doing hockey in this country, have you?
Yeah. It's a tough life you've had, Charms, you and your private school.
Go ahead. I haven't heard a Canadian do soccer in this country.
I'm Canadian.
You're going to rile up Craig.
Yeah, I'm going to rile up Craig
17 years on a broadcaster, and all of a sudden he's out of luck.
Yeah.
You're going to say you had a 20-year career on TV.
I know.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. If I had an accent, I would be getting a lot further.
No. Do you think if you had an accent, would have been better for you than having played in the Premier League for
15 years? Yeah, I think so, because people here don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
Biggest league in the world, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
It's like, did you play in the Canadian CPL?
Oh, boy. I've opened a can of worms.
Yeah, you have. You did.
Oh, by the way, at the restaurant last night, Scott Mitchell walked by, and I was about to yell at him, but he snubbed me. Scott Mitchell from the CSB.
Wait. But you're about to, but you didn't.
Well, he didn't snub me. I apologize. He didn't snub me. He didn't see me. I had just seen him, man. And he walked by, but we were at the same restaurant.
Can I just say that, considering how you are today, it was probably a close one, Matt. He dodged a bullet.
Yeah, it was really very happy. Wonger, it was a good thing.
Yeah, Footy Prime wasn't getting any play that night. Hey, okay, Scott, do you want to talk about Footy Prime more?
We are an hour. Yeah. Dubs.
Right. Okay. James Sharman put in quite the shift on Tuesday and strung together 8 consecutive CPL player interviews in order to create Footy Prime's CPL preview pod. What is the greatest display of endurance you have ever witnessed? JC.
Duncan Ferguson. And
yeah. It was Duncan Ferguson. And no, it's not the biggest endurance that I've ever seen, but I'm going to go with my personal endurance. And I know people think that, so I like to voice act because it's a thing. And it was my first like marathon when I did a 9-hour straight in a row of saying, hurry into Swiss Chalet for 9 straight hours. And all they fed me, because I have dietary restrictions, all I could eat was baby carrots and hummus.
So
on the 9th hour, full of, 8 pitchers of water and baby carrots and hummus, they said, okay, you ready to go? I'm like, I stopped and I'm like, this is not going to happen. So I burst out of the studio, ran across the hall to the bathroom, and then projectiled baby carrots and hummus and water all over the bathroom. And it was so astounding. And the reason I'm using this, it was so astounding to me that I was so shocked that I was still throwing up. Like, it was one continuous, like, when you see on SNL and they have, like...
Yeah, it's like in their sleeve and they're pressing on the bag. And
it was like that.
So Team America. Team America when he's puking. Yeah.
I was a marionette just spraying this bathroom with baby carrots and water. And it just kept going for probably about 13 seconds. And then afterwards, I'm like, holy shit, I better clean this up. So I cleaned the whole bathroom and then came back to work. And then I said, sorry, guys, I have to go home. This is too much. So there's my endurance story.
Well done. Very good story. Did it look a little bit like the shade of the hoodie that you're wearing currently?
It was like bits. It was like, remember Orbitz, the drink with the little bits in it? It just looked like Orbitz all over the bathroom. But it was scary. It was great.
Dubs?
Yeah.
What's the score?
Oh, yeah, I have to score. I'm 10.
Oh, good, JC.
Excellent story. Well done. Jimmy.
Let's see. Endurance. I'm going to go with Debbie Does Dallas. She was struggling a little bit, didn't have much dough. And the endurance on this woman was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, she made a lot of coin. But did she work her ass off and earn
touchdown, Mr. Greenfield.
Yeah. I was really impressed with an individual with stamina like that. Oh. They could keep going and going and going. You got to hold your hands up and take your hat off sometimes, and I did.
Jimmy also watched it 11 times straight, which is also
endurance. That's right, yes. His own personal story of endurance.
It was only Debbie did Dallas, not Texas.
It's the 5th biggest city in America.
She knew what she was getting into. Didn't set the bar too high. You know, when I was writing the question, I saw that as being an angle, but I was fine with it. So you took the obvious and you ran with it, but strong answer. I give you a 10.
Nice. And I'm adding 2 because it's pornography.
Forrest.
I'd have to say one of the greatest things I ever saw was my brother-in-law that wanted to do a triathlon. He wanted to do the Ironman in Hawaii. That was his goal. We were actually watching it on TV, and he was like, "You ever thought about doing that?" And I was like, "What? Not a chance. Not a chance am I doing an Ironman." And he's like, "You know what? I think I'm going to try." So in about 6 months later, he went into a 10K run, and I was waiting at the finish line for him. An hour passes, an hour and 10. This is like a 10K.
A 10K.
I'm like, "Where's Nick?" Anyway, we find out he's in the St. John's ambulance, like passed out. They pulled him out of a head, and he couldn't even finish the 10K. So I'm like, "Good luck with that Ironman, Nick."
Did he realize what an Ironman was? That like, well, it's a marathon. Well, that's the running component.
So anyway, he went into another 10K another few months later, and he finished it. And then he was like, I think I can do the swim. I can do the bike, but the running part's a real problem. So I need to do a marathon. And if I can finish a marathon, then I think I can do it." So he went into the London Marathon, and he finished it, and he did really well. Long story short, he did a triathlon, did the Ironman, and he actually qualified for the World Championships over 35 at that time. So amazing perseverance and endurance from my That's brother-in-law amazing. To continue to do that and actually finish an Ironman. He's done several of them since. So
I would love to know when he dropped doing that first 10K. Was it 3 kilometers in? 4?
Yeah. And even now he kind of denies it ever happened. It's like, "No, Nick, you're in it. They got you in a hedge. You've passed out in a hedge. 5K.
That's so great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, leaves all over him.
Tremendous story. Yeah. Like huge emotional component. Yeah.
Very
swing,
good story.
Redemption arc. 10 on 10.
Nice.
Sharms.
2015, it was Tuesday. Sebastian Giovinco was off the bench for Italy in World Cup qualifying. Less than 24 hours later, he flew back to Toronto on the bench for what was at the time TFC's biggest match ever. Comes off the bench, scores the greatest goal TFC has ever seen, scored, and they qualify for the first time ever for the MLS playoffs. That is an endurance story.
What the hell are you talking about? That's a good one. What is wrong with that? It's not impressive.
I mean, the fact that you didn't get a reaction and then you finished it with the ad-libbed and that was an endurance story. It wasn't that convincing as an endurance story.
There's a lot of TSC fans listening who would agree with me.
You're not winning this today, I can tell you that.
That's a minus. That's
what is wrong with that? It's not impressive?
Oh, you're crap.
All right. I want to hear from the audience about that.
I mean, I'm going to give you a 5.
At least I put some thought into it.
I'm thinking of your GPA at Ryerson. Solid 2. 2.0.
Listen, you could do a lot worse than that answer.
No, I don't think you can.
No. You're judging yourself.
What is wrong with this? Explain to me what is so wrong with this.
You're giving yourself too much credit again.
Because I managed to do it in it was 20 seconds, unlike you fuckers. That's the reason. You hate brevity. Mm. If I could have elongated it to like 3.5 minutes, would that have done better?
No.
No, okay. It would have been a long-winded shitty story instead of just a shitty story.
Explain to me what is so bad about it.
Out of all the endurances, like stories that you've witnessed, that's it? You took a flight over from Europe and played?
You're fucking
like scored the biggest goal and the best goal.
Mm-hmm. No, it causes me to question your standards. And you've fallen well beneath the bar today. I dock you another point and give you 4. Wonger.
I'm going to make this short. I had 9 orgasms one night.
Thank you.
No, you didn't.
And this is the result the next morning.
and I had 13 kids. Yeah. It was weird. Yeah, exactly. It was a weird night.
Was it last night? Was Christian involved again?
So once again, I have an L couch, and I used every one of that couch, every ounce of that couch.
I would hate to see that Tottenham jersey this morning.
Oh no, Jimmy. Why?
9 orgasms, 13 kids, and a dirty, dirty kit. Oh, look at Dubs.
Let me guess. How many points for that?
Dubs, I make shit up sometimes. You know that.
No, I know.
I only can't.
I don't know if that was made up.
Orgasms.
I know it was made up either. I don't know.
You can't get
what
any
to
points
do,
for that.
Really. It's, we either give him like 13 or give him like 2.
It's hard to get a judge, eh?
Well, a point in orgasm.
And then I threw up baby carrots. So it was a great.
No, 2 points.
Perfect. 2 points. Sipper's greatest goal ever is the same, is value the same as Wong's 9 orgasms.
No, you got 2 more.
No, you got twice as much. You got 4.
I thought you got 2. I said 3.
He's actually telling the truth. That's amazing.
Yeah. 5 and 4.
I think he is. I think it's one of those where you tell a story and then you look for the reaction. You're like, no, I'm just joking. I'm only kidding.
Yes.
13 kids. That was a 2 I gave myself. Because that's what Dubs gave me. What is your question? The question, Dubs, is what's your answer to your own question?
Oh my God, it's so convoluted.
Yeah.
Well, let me guess. I had twins. It's pretty impressive, in fairness.
And there was afterbirth on my
oh, for
husband's
sake,
feet.
Stop it. Just
that
stop.
Was endurance.
Just
it was
stop.
A sizable placenta, but I'm not going to go that direction. when I was in Atlanta, I played with a girl named Marcy Miller, who was a very similar player to me. And Marcy once had broken her jaw in a game. It was wired shut. And then she proceeded to best everybody at the beep test, to where she vomited via or through the clenched teeth because her jaw was wired shut, and continued and beat the record for the beep test. Mm.
The VO2 beep test that run. Yeah. Oh,
holy cow.
That's
very,
it.
That very impressive.
Through her wired jaw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She could
potentially have drowned, could have like Jimi Hendrix, right? Or she could have drowned on her own vomit. Oh,
Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix. Yeah.
Kept going, and she set the record for the beep test.
She had a massive nose, though.
Yeah.
Isn't that the worst when you start vomiting through your nose? Oh, it's so painful.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so what do we give that? I'm gonna give it a 10 because I like vomit stories, but you guys fight me on it if you want.
I feel like I've kind of burned bridges, so I mean
I don't care anymore.
All right, that's a 10 then.
Yes. It's not bad. It's not
Dove's like Dove just got a gold star. You hear her go, yes.
I know, she actually really cares about this.
She does.
Oh boy.
Let's get moving on. Was that all of us for that question?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Jimmy.
Yes.
It's your turn.
Okay, let me just get my question up here. Is there a colleague or teammate that annoys the shit out of you? No, that's not it. I got to do the other one. Hold on. Hold on. Here it is. So I was sitting around the dinner table last night with my mom, son, Jess, a few of us, just having a little bite to eat. And we started talking about this, and I thought it'd be a great question to ask. If you could go anywhere in the world and watch a football match and be in the stadium, watching this team, enjoying the atmosphere, and you could have any meal in the world that you want while watching this match and any drink to go with it, what would it be and where would you be watching this match? Forest.
Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know about the food part, but I'd like to go to Argentina and watch the Argentinian League. Boca Juniors.
Oh, yeah.
The Bombonera.
So you could be sitting there and have any meal that you like watching this match.
Quarter pound of cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that makes
sense. It's true. He loves a good quarter pounder and cheese.
In the Bombonera, quarter pounder and cheese.
Yeah. That's yeah, a with a large answer. Fries I and a that. Diet Coke.
Love it.
Make sure it's diet. You don't want those calories.
Jimmy, what does he get? What does he get, Jimmy?
I give him a 10. That's a good one.
Solid answer.
Dubs.
I've already said that I'd love to be able to go see a game at Anfield, but I'm going to go because of JP's family history and Stella's family in Glasgow and huge Celtic supporters. I think it would be a game at Parkhead. Mm-hmm. And when JP played hockey in Jackson, Mississippi, there was a great restaurant called Bravo's. And Bravo's made the best polenta that they would kind of fry up and serve in these triangles and have like roasted vegetables on top of it. It was one of the best meals I've ever had in my life. So it would be sitting at Parkhead having this amazing polenta and probably a Guinness.
I like it.
Pandering a little bit maybe with the Guinness.
Yeah, you did pander.
I give the ball for that. Yeah.
Wow.
JC.
Well, I'm going to say... Why is that funny?
Baby carrots.
Because it's going to be another fucking Happy Gilmore story or Adam Sandler.
I'm going to be in England with my brother-in-law, Stewie, and my and his dad who just passed, watching Spurs play Chelsea because that's who his dad worked for, eating pho from Pho Tien Tan in Toronto and Ossington, big bowl, substitute rice noodles for egg noodles, and I'm drinking a Pilsner from there's a place in Buffalo. It's this little old, like, 100-year-old bar that brews its own beer called... Oh, I can't even remember what it's called, but it's like the best beer I've ever had. Crispy, delicious. If all that can happen, that's my game. That's my food. That's my drink.
I like it. I'm going to give him 11. The man knows what he wants.
Yep.
I like that. Sharms.
Well, I've been there several times, but it's still going to be Anfield. It has to be in the Kop because there's nothing like it in world sport. There's many stadiums I still want to go to for sure, but the Kop is just fucking incredible. And of course, the correct answer would be a Sharman's proper pie, but I'm not a self-promoter. So I'm not saying that. I would have, as my drink, I would have a Guinness too. And as my meal, I would have a Guinness. I'm double-fisted.
Why are you so nice to Guinness? Guinness, I love that. They were a sponsor of ours, and we absolutely went over the top. We took pictures with this blow-up Guinness thing and all this kind of, and they sent us a six-pack.
Debbie Does Dallas, Craig and James Do Guinness, more like Heist on My. We just did all the things to them that they could ever wish for. And we got what, a 4-pack, and our producer drank it.
That's right. It was a 4-pack. I never even had one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an 8, Sharms.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, can I just say that the place in Buffalo I was talking about is called Gene McCarthy's, also the best wings I've ever had in my life. So anybody who's going to Buffalo anytime soon, Gene McCarthy's, dope as fuck.
Had some great wings last night, actually. Hmm. A place called the Wing House out here in Pickering, Ontario. Fantastic.
Really? And do they do wings?
No.
No.
They do houses.
That's right. Just additions to houses.
Yes. Best addition ever.
Let's go, Wonger.
It sounds... Well, Craig and I were talking about and to Sharms, and it was about him going back to Ipswich. And it would be great for us six to go to Ipswich. Craig gets put on the wall of fame. And we eat some spaghetti, some really shitty spaghetti. You know, like that.
Like
spaghetti.
Peel Pub?
Peel Pub. Pizza Getty for $1.99. Pizza Getty, you get a half a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
And we're drinking, you know what? We're drinking gin. And it's a gin that maybe we like working with. Mm. So that's how I'm going to work that in. So that's
when would you be having this gin?
May 9th or 10th. We have to confirm that.
Love it.
By the way, Dubs, Peel Pub spaghetti was dreadful, but it was so cheap.
It was a dollar. Remember the beer? $2.
You used to have one here in Toronto. Is it still there in Montreal? It must be, right?
Yeah, no, well, they opened it, closed it, different owners.
Oh, okay.
It's not even on Peel anymore, I don't think.
I think there might be one franchise that's still kind of hanging in.
Really?
Or one,
it was in Toronto on King Street for years. You get the big, huge jugs for like $11. Terrible beer. Just the worst beer, but you just pound it.
Yeah.
I actually watched England win the Rugby World Cup in 2003 from the Peel Pub. Mm. Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it?
You love their huge jugs.
I mean, what's love a pair of huge jugs.
What's eight. My number and then your answer?
Double fisting.
Eight.
All right. Eight. And then, Jimmy, it's your, we get to judge Jimmy.
Yeah, I think I would go to, similar to Craig, I want to go to the Bombonera, watch Boca Juniors. And then I do love a curry, but I want to have an Argentinian steak. Yeah. And with a really nice, expensive Argentinian Malbec.
What is the two idiots doing?
We're just still talking about the huge jugs at Field Pub. So there's been a lot of miming about breasts.
Jimmy, I'm giving you a 10 because I like the specificity of a Malbec, a big steak, and watching Boca Juniors again.
Thank you.
I like that.
Didn't even hear that one.
Sorry for ruining your answer, Jimmy.
Last question. Last question as we reach an hour and 11 minutes on our dubs and dubs, because there's no news and dubs anymore.
It's mine, right? And
yeah.
I actually have a really shit answer for this one, so who cares? There was apparently an eclipse this week. What is the sporting equivalent, i.e. something that is so overhyped it completely failed or fails to ever live up to the bullshit?
Oh, that's a good one.
Because the eclipse, wasn't great where I was.
Made me sleepy. I fell asleep.
Oh, it's getting dark. Wow, let's settle down a little bit here, right? Can you all calm down? Okay, yes, celestial event, whatever. But people really blew it out of proportion, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did a little bit. Can I go first?
All right, let's start with you, Dubs.
Yeah. Overhyped, fails to meet expectations, flaccid four every Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's it.
Yeah. No, good. Yeah, that's 10 points. Good. All right, Wonga.
Me in bed.
Nine orgasms in one night.
Oh yeah, but they were a minute. They were both 2 seconds each. I was like a rabbit.
For the self-deprecation, you got 12 points.
Thank you.
All right, Jimmy.
Potato sack race or a tug of war. Build it up, and then when it happens, it's shit.
You talking about your own tug of war, or?
Yeah, pretty much.
There's no winners in war.
Yeah. Boring. Yeah, we're doing this again.
How good is a potato sack race? And Jimmy just goes, fuck this. He sees it happening. He's like, I'm looking this way.
Yeah. Do they still have those?
Because I remember you see them once in a while, you know, like picnics, and they're like, oh, let's do this. And, and then they run and they fall, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
No, picnics. What's the point of a picnic? Yeah. Stupid. All right, JC.
That was my point.
I'll give you 9.
Every all-star game.
Yeah, that's a good one.
In any sport, except maybe baseball, but in any other sport, it's just nobody, like, everybody showboats. There's no real competition.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that.
Yeah.
I'll give you 10. 10 points. Bang on. Craig.
Shit, I was going to do that one.
Oh.
I was going to do all-star games.
Dang.
I think generally World Cup finals or any final in any sport can be hyped out of proportion, and then it often will disappoint, except for the last World Cup final.
Which was incredible. Best game ever.
Best game ever. Every Super Bowl over the last 10 years.
That's right.
That was great.
Yeah.
That's the worst answer.
Yeah. You know what, Craig? That's just mailing that in. That's 2 points. It's a tired narrative now, you know, because these are pretty good finals.
So we have a tie. I just added everything very quickly. We have a tie
for the
championship.
Dubs
came third.
Hey, my answer.
Oh, sorry.
We don't need you. You can't. You got no chance of catching.
You don't have unless you get a 36. You.
Wow.
I was going to say any trade or transfer deadline show. It's shite.
It's true.
Overhyped. Overwhelmed. Okay. I mean, back in the running.
35 for that.
You're not. I'm giving you a 10 out of pure.
35.
Yeah. All right. So Jimmy and JC tied with 43.
Ooh, yeah, out of 40.
We have to fight now.
This is. I want you guys to know. I think this is Jimmy's first win ever.
No.
Oh.
I've won a couple.
All right. So what? Yes. So Jimmy won, and JC. JC's been at the top a few times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done.
Okay, there you go.
Tug away.
I got a looky likey.
Ooh, have you? All right, listeners. So Amy has throughout the podcast been playing Craig with her hair.
I'm not saying who it is, but
can we explain to the audience a top knot she's put on her ginger, beautiful ginger hair?
It's and, pebbles.
It's pebbles is the picture.
She does look like pebbles.
She does.
I don't mind the pebbles comparison as much as I hate the continual reference as me being a ginger. My hair is not red or ginger.
What is wrong with gingers? What's wrong with the ginger hair?
Yeah, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with that stuff?
You're a beautiful, spectacular ginger.
Well, why do you hate us?
When you and JC are standing in front of each other,
but
very
my
close.
Hair is not that.
Footy pigs.
Are you ready?
DJ Melody.
Featuring, hey, Debbie Gonzalez. Featuring, featuring the USL Coach of the Month, Danny Dicchio. All right, so we have the supporters betting, first of all. They have gone safe because we're on a bad run. Might surprise you to hear. We're in a bad run. They've picked United to beat Bournemouth. That's Manchester United to beat Bournemouth. Liverpool to bounce back from that Europa League nightmare to beat Palace. Terrible.
So bad.
And Wrexham to beat Forest Green Rovers in League Two. Ooh. $5 gives us odds of plus 330 and $21.55 will be the win. Okay. I have not put in our bets yet. I'm not sure everyone put a bets in, did they? Maybe they did. Anyway, let's do it live, shall we? Because it sure. always works so well. Yep. Craig, who have you got to start with?
Bayern Munich to beat Köln.
Bayern Munich to beat Köln. Now, don't forget that if Bayer Leverkusen beat Werder Bremen this weekend, they are champions.
Over. It's over.
Wow.
It took Harry Kane one season for them not to win 12 straight titles.
Yep, yep. All right, Dubs. Actually, anyone else got a Bundesliga pick?
No.
I'll take Leverkusen. So it's just easier because we're doing it live here.
By the way, they look
ground champions. They do. Undefeated this season, 42 games. It's unreal. Okay, Dubs?
Yeah, my pick from a couple of weeks ago. I didn't realize it was.
Can you explain
this? It was on April 14th. Yeah, it was the same match day, but then because of the international calendar, it was pushed. And so I'd selected Arsenal over Jimmy Brennan's Bristol City. And but it was only to be played this Sunday, April 14th, not 2 weeks ago. So that match will, in fact, be taking place on Sunday.
Okay, and this is a Women's
I'm
Super
betting
League?
On Arsenal. Yes, in Women's Super League.
Okay, let me just try and find it here.
Women's Super League.
Women's Super League.
It's kind it's of a super league. Much, though, and Women's and Super League. Let's call Arsenal, ourselves right? the Super League.
Why? Arsenal's odds minus three.
It's kind of rugby-ish. Rugby sometimes has Super League.
Yeah.
Yep, they do.
Super Bowl.
And we'll have it in European football in no time as well. Okay, Wunger.
Oh, I'm going easy. Our Tony Bet lock of the week, I am calling it. It is the Luton Town losing magnificently to the city of Manchester.
He couldn't have said that in a more convoluted way.
Don't forget you've used convoluted twice already today.
All right, Jimmy.
I don't care.
Pebbles.
Roma to beat Udinese.
Roma to beat Udinese in the Italian Serie A. Roma.
You go Italian a lot, eh? Jimmy? Yeah. Is it because of you and you're dating Jess?
Well, she likes AC Milan.
Oh.
That's her team. But I've always liked Italian football. Because when I went to England the first time in 94, it was all you got on TV a lot was Serie A.
Oh.
And that league was unbelievable.
James Richardson.
For that. It was amazing.
Yeah. All right, JC.
And I will put tabs on it.
I got the Battle of the A's. Arsenal versus Aston Villa. Arsenal Gunners for the win. Soccer.
Ooh, that's a big match, though, eh? That's a big match.
Yeah. It's a huge match, yeah. It is. Yeah. Villa beat Lille in the Europa League this week and helping the old coefficient.
And our community bet, our Tony Bet community bet is up on our Twitter, and it's a poll right now, and I forget who's winning, but it's basically, I shouldn't say basically, it is our friend Nottingham Forest for Jimmy versus Wolverhampton Wanderers. So go make your choice on who's going to win that.
What is Craig doing?
Craig is petting a lamp.
Is that a lamp, or is it like a dog with a cone without a head?
It's a soft cone on my cat.
What happened? What happened? Craig?
Her paw is a little bit, yeah, it's not good.
What happened?
No. She keeps licking a sore paw.
Oh, good sore paw. Oh, the paw, sore paw.
Who does sore paw play for?
So far, is it right back for
Udinese? Left back for Villa, I thought. Okay.
All right, $5, by the way. Conservative odds, plus 378. The winner's $23.90 for that one. CPL.
Forrest, would it not be easier just to bandage up the paw and put that stupid thing on its head?
But then they kind of gnaw at it, right?
Yeah, they kind of gnaw at it.
This is what Wonga needs.
We've set up a GoFundMe for Craig's cat. For Craig's cat's paw.
Yeah.
Can we get a big cone for Wonga? Should.
For Winnie's.
Around my midriff.
No, but just for the pods that are when he's Wong over.
Yeah, when he's Wong over. Yeah.
I think we should put cones on his hands so he doesn't touch himself.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, dear God.
Oven mitts. I'm gonna have oven mitts.
You're also you moonlight as a hand model.
CPL kicks off this weekend. Any thoughts? It's, ended really well last year. Fantastic final. Good season. Attendance was up. Big hopes for this season.
Go York. Go York United. That's my
your team.
I'm saying it today because they live in the same city that I'm in. Mm-hmm. So go York United. And then Jimmy was fired by them.
Their home opener, by the way, their home opener is on the 21st, a Sunday, and we have been invited out. So I think we should make an appearance. Don't know if there's free booze, but Ricardo, who owns the club, could let us know. But regardless, we'll be there.
We're asking you in public on our podcast.
That's right. No pressure.
Nation.
No pressure, regardless.
Free booze.
You better come free out, booze we'll and empanadas.
Yeah, we'll keep it flowing.
No, yeah, the York's done some nice moves this offseason. All the attention's on, though, Ottawa and their moves. But a dark horse, and we spoke about this on the CPL preview show, a dark horse might well be Halifax, who were really good last year, finishing third in the table. So lots to look forward to in the Canadian Premier League that kicks off this weekend. It's available in OneSoccer. Support Canadian football, people. Give it a whirl. Watch it. It's great stuff. Thank you, by the way, to Fubo TV, where you can find OneSoccer. And thank you to TonyBet.ca for allowing us to lose another bet this week. JC. Oh boy, this has to be a video podcast at some point, right? Right, it just has to. It's very visual, let's put it that way. Alright, until Monday morning, have a lovely, lovely weekend, enjoy the matches, and cheers for all the listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Fucking hell.
Great yeah. show.
Cheers,
show, guys.
Cheers first.
That was terrible.
Boy.
Yeah, not our best.
Are you kidding?
That was
so funny.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi,
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.